Good morning, one and all. Good to see you all are thawed out and the service is incomplete without you. So we're happy that you're here. Give Val a chance to settle down. Am I on or not? I'm on, by golly. All right. Yes.
Can I make an announcement?
You may make an announcement.
Wanted to make an announcement about my brother. Sometimes we pray for people and I never say what's going on. But he's had a problem with his cancer that his whole belly fills up with fluid. And two different times they've taken three quarts out. And I talked to him last night. He was feeling good and doing good. And I think God is working through the medical community to give him a little longer life before he dies. It's still terminal, but right now he's doing good and he's feeling good. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Well, let's begin. Stand as you are able, and we'll turn to the brief order of confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the church, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus, think on me. Or do I have the right number? Nope, I don't have the right number. 834.
On the tree and with it.
God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Israelites to be afraid. So Moses wore a veil to mask the radiance of God's glory, taking it off when he spoke directly with God. Beginning with verse 29, Moses came down from Mount Sinai. As he came down from the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant in his hand, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. When Aaron and the Israelites saw Moses, The skin of his face was shining, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses spoke with them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out, and when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, the Israelites would see the face of Moses, that the skin of his face was shining, and Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read the Psalm 99 responsively. The Lord is king, let the people tremble. He is enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth shake.
The Lord is great in Zion, is high above all peoples.
Let them confess his name, which is great and awesome. He is the Holy One.
O mighty King, lover of justice, you have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God and fall down before his footstool. He is the Holy One.
Moses and Aaron among your priests, and Samuel among those who call upon your name, O Lord. They call upon you, and you answer them.
He spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the decree that he gave them.
O Lord our God, you answered them indeed. You were a God who forgave them, yet punished them for their disobedience.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God and worship him upon his holy hill, for the Lord our God is the Holy One. The second reading today is from the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. In his debates with the Corinthians, Paul contrasts the glory of Moses with the glory of Christ. The Israelites could not see Moses' face because of the veil. But in Christ, we see the unveiled glory of God and are transformed into Christ's likeness. Beginning with chapter 12, since then we have such a hope. We act with great boldness, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the people of Israel from gazing at the end of the glory that was being set aside. But their minds were hardened. Indeed, to this very day, when they hear the reading of the Old Covenant, that same veil is still there, since only in Christ is it set aside. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord the Spirit. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we command ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God, the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus God.
St. Luke, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came over and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent. And in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. By children, I think we're kind of low on children today. Ben, would you like to come up? Come on up. I think you are. Can we sit together? We got room. Huh? Do we? Yeah. Hey. You're hiding. Are you? Do you like to tell stories? You like to hear stories. Do you? Have you ever been, a campfire at night and had somebody tell stories? Have you ever had them? It's dark and they turn on a light and they tell a story. You ever have that? What's your favorite Bible story? Can you think of one? Can you think of a story about how about David and Goliath? Do you like that story? You don't know that one? Okay. Well, what story do you know? Oh, you like Noah's Ark? I like Noah's Ark, too. Do you want to put this down here and shine on you and we can tell the story? You don't want to tell the story. Okay. I can tell the story, can I? Mm-hmm. Well, today we had a story about Jesus and James and Peter and John who went up on a mountain. And all at once, Jesus started to shine. Like there was a brilliant light on him. Wow. He was so bright, he just shined. And the disciples were scared. They didn't know what was going on, but they saw two other people. One of them was Moses, and one was Elijah. But they weren't shining. Only Jesus was shining, because we remember Jesus is the light of the world. Can you remember that? Okay, very good. Well, I'll tell you what. Would you like to take a light home with you? Okay, just don't shine it in anybody's eyes. Okay, all right. But you have to tell stories. Okay, can you tell stories? Tell your sister. Oh, well, just tell her what you heard today. Okay? Oh, in fact, you could even tell her a story about one of your dinosaurs. Okay, well, then you could tell about that, couldn't you? All right. Very good. Well, I don't know about you, but when I got up this morning, I looked at the thermometer, and it said -7. But before I left the house, it said -8. And by the time I got down the street a ways, it said -9. And then down here on the corner, it said -10. I thought I'd go back home. It's so much warmer back there. Oh, makes you long for those nice summer days, doesn't it?
No.
I remember those days on the farm when we would look forward to the first day that we could get out in the field. And now, us boys usually would wear a t-shirt. And after the first day out there, we would not have a sun tan. It would be a sun burn. Our arms, and our neck, and it was very painful. My youngest brother was really brave. He would go out there without a shirt, and he would be red from top to waist, just red and miserable. But that's the way to be a man, as far as he was concerned. Well, in our gospel today, We have the story of Jesus and having light shining upon him. Not a suntan or a sunbird, but the light of God. There's a story told about King Henry VII. Henry was on his deathbed, and his best friend was the court jester. The court jester came to see Henry and said, "What's going on?" And Henry said, "I'm going away." "Well, where are you going?" Henry said, "I don't know." "Well, how long are you going to be gone?" "Forever." "Well, who's going with you?" "Do you have a companion?" "No," Henry said, "I don't. Going by myself." "Do you have money for the trip?" "No." "Well, when are you coming back?" "Never." Well, the court jester thought about that for a minute, and he said, "You know, my friend, I thought all these years that I was the biggest fool in this court. But here you are, going on a journey you don't know where, you don't know how long, you have nothing to take with you, you have no companion on the way. There is nothing, and you'll be gone forever. I would call you the biggest fool in this court." That could possibly be our story, couldn't it? Each and every one of us. Do you know where you're going? Do you know who's going with you? You see, we have a tendency to forget that in Christ, we have a light that doesn't go out. We have one who has promised and guaranteed that he would be our companion on that journey. And that he already has a place prepared just for us. We're not alone. Our biggest problem, not only as individuals, but as a congregation, is how negativism can get into our systems and hold us back and make us think nothing good is happening. Nothing good can happen. And yet, the good news is all good news, telling us that Jesus does have a plan, that Jesus does have a way, that Jesus is the way. Moses knew where he was going. From the time he talked to that burning bush in the wilderness, through all of the plagues in Egypt, he didn't always like it. He didn't always like what happened. And he didn't like what was happening to him on the journey. But he knew where he was going, because he knew he had a companion who was God himself. And that God was leading him not only through all of those plagues, but through the Red Sea, into the wilderness, to freedom. And that God, he didn't need the money. God was providing the food, the manna from heaven, and the water along the way. Everything they really needed, God was providing. Moses knew. Moses knew where he was going and was able to lead the people. The Apostle Paul tells us another story. He thought he knew where he was going until he was knocked on his can on the way to Damascus. And there the light that he was trying to avoid blinded him. until one of those who followed the light prayed for his healing, and he was made whole again. You see, I think all of us need that healing hand to lay upon each and every one of us individually and as a congregation. Not just once, but every day. There's a story that was told by Plato in 440 BC, the Greek philosopher, who told, and you probably have heard this before, told about a cave. And in this cave, the people were chained to the back wall. And all they could see were the shadows of people passing by. They couldn't see the people. All they could see were the shadows. And Plato said, if one of those people chained to the wall broke free and got out into the light, first they would be blinded by the light, and then they would begin to see, and they would realize that all they had been seeing were shadows. They weren't seeing the real thing. And once they realized there were real people, that they might want to go back into the cave and tell the other people about it. But Plato's story says they would be killed because the people living in the darkness of the cave didn't want to know the light of Christ, the light that was there, or the realness of real people. Paul knew what was real, and he went through it all. After he was blinded, he went through all of the suffering that anyone could ever expect. Shipwrecks, beatings, stonings, imprisonment, you name it. Paul goes through it. And even as he sits in prison awaiting what is certainly going to be an execution, he can write to his friends in Philippi and say, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Wow. Now that's a positive approach to what God has called him to. And despite what may happen to him, he knows where he's going. Because he knows his companion on the journey. Peter, James, and John are on the journey with Jesus. Let's set the stage a little bit. They have just been to Caesarea Philippi. Now, Caesarea Philippi is a place, it's a beautiful location, right at the base of Mount Hermon. And there are niches and temples to every god you could ever imagine. There's a frog god. I don't think they had dinosaur gods back then. They didn't know about dinosaurs. Just their problem, right, Ben? But they had a goat god. They had, you name the god, they had it. It's in this location where Peter points all of this out to the disciples and he says to them, now, seeing all these other gods, who do you say that I am? And Peter declares, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, that happened one day. The next day, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on another mountain. Or maybe the same mountain. We don't know for sure. There's another mountain, Mount Tabor, where they say it's the site. Who knows? But up there, the disciples are really sleepy. Now, if I had climbed up Mount Tabor, or even Mount Hermon is even worse, if I had climbed up there like they had to, I'd have been tired too. It's a long trip. Even by the vehicle we took, it was a long, treacherous little winding road. But up there, now all at once,
they see Moses, the greatest lawgiver, and Elijah, the greatest of the prophets, standing with Jesus. And Jesus is radiant. If Moses glowed with the presence of God, that's the glow that I see on Jesus at that moment, reminding us that he is there and that he is the companion who wants to be with us and lead us all the way home. May we discover the joy of the gospel as we live out our lives in this world. Now, do you know where you're going? Do you know who's going with you?
Yes.
You see? We know. We know at the bottom of our heart who is leading us where. Now, is there any circumstance in you that you can even imagine where we as the body of Christ, the church, is there any way that can fail? You see, we have something positive to look forward to. We may have those times when somebody doesn't want to volunteer for this or that or whatever, but that's not going to stop us because it's not us who are doing it. Man worked in the factory all of his life. The Monday after his retirement, he got up, got dressed, sat in his favorite chair, and listened. And when the factory whistle blew, he had this puzzled look on his face. And he looked at his wife and he said, "You know, I think they're going to try running the factory without me." Can you imagine that? Well, let us keep that in mind. That if it was totally up to us, this church would have closed a long time ago. I kid you not. I look at the history. There are ups and there are downs and there are all kinds of things. And if it was up to us, we as well close the doors. But it's not up to us. We have a Savior who is Christ the Lord, who wants to shine on us and not give us a sunburn, but give us a light glow. May we be the light to this community as long as we have any breath in us. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Glory, glory.
being received this morning to come forward. We have two Lindas. Persons have come to us from other congregations and desire to make public affirmation of their baptism as a sign of their oneness with our community of faith. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in holy baptism, our Lord Jesus Christ received you and made you members of his church. In the community of God's people, you have learned from his word God's loving purpose for you and all creation. You have been nourished at his holy table and called to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, therefore, I ask you to join us in professing your faith in Christ Jesus, rejecting sin and confessing the faith of the church, the faith in which we are baptized. I'd invite the congregation to stand and join us when we say the Lord's the Nicene Creed. Do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil and all his empty promises? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Do you believe in God who reveals himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? We believe in one God, Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come in heaven in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
We welcome you as members of St. Luke's Lutheran Church to join with us in worshiping God, hearing his word, sharing his supper, proclaiming the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, serving all people and striving for justice and peace in all the earth. The promises of your baptismal covenant. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism? So answer, I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
I do, and I ask God to help and guide me.
Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, for these new members of our congregation. By your life-giving power, bind us to each other in you. Strengthen us for the service, support us all our days, and bring us at length to the day when all your children will be with one with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
And you may be seated. Welcome, officially. We'll continue with the prayers. United as one body in Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Are there people or concerns for which you wish to pray today? I have Daniel down and Erlene. I haven't heard any more. Any other names?
Mona's family.
Excuse me?
Mona's family.
Mona's family.
We pray for the church. Fill us with the spirit of generosity and care. Lead us to forgive as we have been forgiven. Show us new ways to be helpful to others. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
For the earth, grant seasonable weather for the planting and harvesting of crops. Protect farms, orchards, and gardens from damage. Bless those who till the fields, those who care for livestock, and all who provide food. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
For the nations, for all researchers and leaders who work to resolve complex issues, for all who teach peace and reconciliation to communities in conflict, for those affected by earthquake, drought, or storms, and all who come to their aid, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For those in need, for those who lack adequate food, shelter, or access to medical care, for those unable to find gainful employment, comfort the grieving and heal the sick. We pray especially for Daniel Orwig, Darlene Hussman, Mona Pickering, and those others we name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For this assembly, inspire us to be good stewards of the resources you have entrusted to us. Teach us to give freely of ourselves and to offer our lives in service. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
With thanksgiving, we remember those who have died. Even in the midst of death, give us faith to trust your promise of everlasting life. Comfort and support Mona Pickering and her family as they mourn the loss of her grandson. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Receive our prayers and fill us with the radiance of your love. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
I'm going to go to the next
Savior Jesus Christ, by the leading of a star, he was shown forth to all nations. In the waters of the Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son, and in the miracles water turned to wine, he revealed your glory. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Moses and Elijah, there a voice from heaven did speak to them.
Marching, 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 marching
That song brought tonight. We celebrated our 50th anniversary in Cameroon this past year, and at a church just a little longer than this, but jam-packed with people. And when they sang, they didn't just sing. You know what you sing that they're dancing? I mean, they were dancing. I've got pictures of them dancing. I mean, they were real. They get all out. It's a neat experience. Today at 3 o'clock, St. Luke's Episcopal is having an open house to celebrate their new organ. So we're all invited to that. This week, Ash Wednesday, 7 o'clock, the men's breakfast will be here at the church. We're inviting Union Congregational, and I think they're bringing some rolls. Let's see. Well, it's a big day. We have confirmation, we have choir, we have bells, and we have worship. Our Ash Wednesday worship is the beginning of a series. I would encourage you, if at all possible, to be at every one of the midweek services, because they're going to deal with healing. One of the things that came out in our transition team was the need for healing for individuals, but healing for congregation, the congregation. Each one will deal with a different area of healing. I wrote these a couple of years ago. They're skits that will deal with the healing of the sin, healing of sin, healing of the skin, healing of the blood, healing of hearing, healing of sight, healing of paralysis, healing of the heart. And they're going to, the neat thing is that they're, well, you probably would never guess that they've got any humor in them at all, but they're written by me, so you'll get it. But the neat thing is also, they not only have a message for us as individuals who need the healing of any of those areas, but also for us as a congregation to be healed in those areas. So, that's that. Thursday, Life Shapes Bible Study, our last one. And then Sunday, next Sunday is the church council meeting. And I wanted to make a comment. I mentioned something about negative thinking has a detrimental effect on us as a people of God. Many years ago, my wife had a condition, a medical problem that the doctors didn't know what to do with. They wanted to treat it as if it was cancer, even though it wasn't. They wanted to do surgery, chemotherapy, radiation, the whole works. And she chose not to do that in favor of changing her diet and changing her attitude. And the thing that changed most was her negativity. She absolutely refused to be around anybody who was negative. Our kids were at that age where they liked to fight. She'd walk out of the house to get away from them. If there was something negative on TV, the news, she wouldn't even watch the news. She even gave up one of her quilting groups because the quilters were playing the Ain't It Awful game. Have you ever played that? No. Yeah, ain't it awful the way this happens or that person did something or whatever? And she said, it's over and over again. They don't stop. So she absent herself from it. The fantastic thing was that month after month, her blood test came back, and she was totally healed. So we were thrilled. I'm not sure what part of all of that besides our prayers, and because we did a lot of praying too. But that's my last message, my last sermon for the day. Yes?
Is the church going to be here or at the union?
Okay. It will be here for the first four Wednesdays. Ash Wednesday and the next three. And then the others will be at Union. And we'll continue that series through there. Any other announcements? Yes, Lois.
Well, I just want to thank everybody who helped with the funeral dinner yesterday from Tony. And I especially want to thank our two new members because they were kind of the head honchos.
Hey, so, fantastic.
Thank you. Already we are taking part. So thank you.
Super.
Julie.
Yes, Julie.
Tomorrow is Ben's birthday.
Well, we should sing happy birthday, shouldn't we?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God loves you. Happy birthday to you.
You're not 15 yet, are you?
And I'm 5.
5? Wow. Big 5. Fantastic. Congratulations. And especially congratulations to Mom and Dad. Are there other announcements? Then let's go in peace and share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.